Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You have a job description.
Yes.
And you get paid for what that entails.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no doubt some jobs ask you to do more than what you were hired to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's frustrating. But in every workplace in the greater Rochester area, there seems to be a guy.
Oh, yeah.
A guy who knows it all.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who's going to try and go above and beyond. A guy who is not only going to embarrass himself,
yep,
but in doing so, will make the rest of the people he works with look bad. And one of those guys wrote us a letter.
I can't wait to hear.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. It's Wednesday, it's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. And about 2 weeks ago, we had an issue here in the studio.
Yeah.
And it started when I got here at 3 a.m. I'm sitting at my desk,
mm-hmm,
and I hear this massive banging. And it sounded like it was coming from our back door.
Yeah.
Right? So I thought someone was trying to break into the building.
Why? We have no idea. Deliver talent?
So I told you guys, I grabbed my hockey stick that's over my shoulder here.
Go Gila Floor on his
Take
ass.
Take a peek.
I didn't know what else I was supposed to do. So I had my hockey stick across my chest, right? And I walk out to the back door, and I thought, like, I need a plan.
Here comes Pat. Oh, he really gave it to Razor over there in the corner. Hey, he's got him up against the boiler over there. Woo, no, that's a hell of a shot right there, fellas.
But I realized as I went to open the door, you can't just crack the door open because if they try to break in, they're going to come in.
Yeah.
So I kicked out. I stood there like, ah!
Was stick handling?
No one was there. So I called Derek, our engineer, and I'm like, hey, man, I think something's wrong. And he comes in, and he listens, and he goes, I think it's the boiler.
Mm.
So he then asked me to come with him into the dark and scary basement.
Two men, one stick.
I put the stick away in that one. And Derek asked me to do that because, in his words, he wanted to make sure nothing happened to him while he was down there.
Right.
Which is an interesting approach, seeing if how something were to blow up, we're both going down.
Yeah.
So long story short, it was the boiler. Something was wrong with it. And eventually it all got fixed. But throughout the entire show that morning, there was this loud banging and shaking right underneath the floor of our studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it was making us uncomfortable because we thought we might blow up.
Know nothing about it.
Exactly. And yes, Kimmy, why would we?
We don't even have a guess.
Well, it turns out, Tommy,
what's that?
This entire issue was actually our fault.
Really?
At least according to a man who wrote us this letter.
What did he say?
Well, this man says, when something goes wrong at your job,
mm-hmm,
no matter what it is, no matter what your job is, it is on you to figure it out and make it better.
Mm.
Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we're suck, letting us know why we have no talent. Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
We have proof that Tommy and Duffy are the biggest pansies in all of Rochester. Scared of a little banging in your building, and there's nothing you could do about it. Oh, hell no. Call the police. I heard you both crying about the loud noises in your building, and the fact that the two of you didn't know what to do shows that you're completely useless where you work. You've both worked at that job for a long time. You're telling me neither of you could go to where the problem was and figure it out? That's the mark of a good employee. The best workers are the ones who can solve any problem in any department because they pay attention and they keep mental notes. They know how to fix whatever is the matter. If I were your boss, I'd have fired you that day. You can only talk for a living. You can't function without your other coworkers. The more you know, the less expendable you become. The less you know, the more you tell me, I don't need you on my team. Sincerely, Ralph.
I hate this guy.
I every Ralph I've ever met, I've never liked.
Uncle Ralph?
The only one. But he was holding meat.
Okay, good point. Okay, and here's the thing. I hate him. It has nothing to do with him taking shots at us personally. Mm-hmm. Ralph, Tommy.
Is that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's 100%.
And even my old man warned me about becoming that guy.
Oh, what do you mean?
My old man always had a theory. If you're good at everything, you're going to go nowhere in a company.
Did he put the stutter in there, too?
Well, he was a stutterer.
Like I always said, if you're good at everything. Wasn't that your mom who said that?
Might have been.
If you're good at everything. She was good at that. I'm sorry, you were saying.
No, but he was, you know, if you're good at everything, you're just going to get used.
Yes.
You'll just be that guy. You're going to be the utility guy.
Thank you.
For the rest of your life. If never be really good at a job you don't want. Because you're just going to get stuck.
Yeah. Remember. We see no it happen over
you'll,
and over.
You'll always have a job,
yeah.
But you'll go nowhere.
Preach.
And you'll stress yourself out doing it.
Yes, because you'll be that guy for everything.
You added more work to your plate, and nobody appreciates it.
Yeah.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Like, okay. You're
become invisible.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And we'll loop back around to that. But, like, what is, I guess at base level, two guys who do a radio show for a living,
yeah.
Right? Who, we didn't even know where the boiler was, in all sincerity.
I didn't know. I've never been to the lower floor of this building, and I don't need to.
How are we going to spring into action and make it all better?
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to do it? By the way, quick sidebar. Can we go off scot-free on this one? He just cracked all over us.
Well, you're not going to
I also don't know what's happening.
Well, no, but it's such a scummy thing. Men need to know things. Women just sit there and look pretty. And I know that Kimmy can't do that second part, but if you're going to yell at us.
By the way, I'm pretty sure the landlord, was like you and I tinkering with the boiler.
Thank you.
Also great point.
Thank you.
You know, if you're not an expert, maybe don't.
Blow the place up.
Yeah, yes! Don't attempt to. Get too involved, I guess.
Oh, yeah, we fixed the boiler, but you need to replace the first three floors of the building.
252-WCMF. Every workplace in Rochester has a guy like Ralph.
Yes.
A guy who thinks he knows everything.
And he's the one guy that's not expendable. Like, you got to have Ralph.
Well, but here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Now, what your father said and that road that we went down, I agree with that 100%. Mm-hmm. Do not learn how to do everything because you're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
That being said, I don't believe Ralph knows how to do everything. Because the guy that you work with that thinks he knows how to do everything does not know how to do everything.
True that.
In fact, that man is an idiot.
Word.
And he's an idiot for multiple reasons. One, you don't know how to fix whatever is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So best case scenario, you're wasting your time. Worst case scenario, you are making a bad situation worse for the person that actually has to go fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you're making the person whose job it actually is to fix it harder because they don't need your ass poking around their department and messing things up. And three, and this is the one that affects most people at your job.
What's that?
If your boss believes for some reason that this guy has some kind of idea what they're doing, even though they don't, they make everyone else look bad. Because here's the thing. You're right that guys like Ralph will never go anywhere.
Yeah.
But when Ralph's putting in the extra work, and the boss believes he knows what he's doing, it gives the boss the ability to take their finger out, wag it at everybody else, and be like, well, why aren't you putting in the effort that the Ralphs of the world are?
The Ralphs of the world.
It's so counterproductive. And if you are that guy, if what we are describing,
the know-it-all guy,
sounds like you, you are making life at your job miserable for everyone else in multiple ways.
Yeah. You're right.
God, I hate these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it come from?
And it's always men.
Yes.
It's a male thing.
Kimmy, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an example where a woman that I worked with was that person, and I can't come up with one.
It does seem women are more self-aware when it comes to stuff like this, right? Like, I am good at what I do, and I'm not going to stick my face in other things.
Although I ask for help,
And if we're wrong, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. But it's, you're right. Not only is it only a guy, I don't.
It's a know-it-all thing. Guys have to know-it-all.
But here's the weird thing.
It's a know-it-all slash show-off thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want people to see you doing it.
Yeah, that's going hand in hand.
You're not doing it without an audience most of the time. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But like, here's going even past like the know-it-all thing. Yeah, every guy's a know-it-all.
Mm.
But like, I'll give you advice, and then I'll run away and see what happens if you take it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think any guy that gives advice actually wants the person taking the advice to do it. Because if they screw it up, it's on you.
Yes.
It's a weird mental problem.
Yeah.
When you are going to expose yourself at your job to something that you are not going to accomplish.
No.
And then brag about it. And here's what sucks.
What's that?
Even more. About guys like Ralph, 252-WCMF, who writes us a letter telling us if we don't know how to do everything at our job, we're expendable. You need to know how to do every job. Tommy. All it takes is that guy getting lucky one time, fixing something outside of their expertise, when they fall backwards into a solution, and then it's in their head forever that they are the pro.
Yeah, and that never shakes loose. That's going to be cemented in stone like those stars in Hollywood on the ground.
Amen. They could go 1 for 20 on fixes over a decade, but every time it comes up, they'll remind you. Well, remember, I went in there and I handled it.
I saved the day. Yeah. How much? I always love too when they estimate how much money they saved the company.
That's a great call, man.
Yeah, times 10. This is so full of crap.
And like, what's more frustrating about it? Mm. Like, we live in weird times right now, where every once in a while, maybe more than that, a place you work will ask you to do something that is not in your job description. Yeah. And it sucks. And it's not fair. But when you get asked directly to your face, you can feel like you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And that's understandable, right? I get it. I get it. That being said, if you are doing work past your job description without anyone asking you, you're a sucker.
Yes.
You're not going to get the raise you think you're getting, as Tommy said. There is no promotion waiting for you when you're voluntarily doing more work.
It's not appreciated.
Yes, because you're already volunteering to do it for free.
Yeah, you just did it. So why? I'm, yeah.
Sucker! Sorry, yes. I was going to hit one of the suckers.
It's not my job.
Yeah, and you don't have to say it like that. You just don't have to.
I was using Freddie Prinze. But no, you could use any quality 70s sitcom star.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne, how are you, buddy?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, man. What do you got?
First time caller, long time listener.
You know, we've been asking for a long time, when's Dwayne going to call? And I'm glad you're finally here.
With boiler pipes, when you put in a low fire overnight.
Okay, this is the guy. You're the guy. You, okay. Dwayne, are that guy.
Okay, the steam cools.
Are you done?
So any dead ends in the pipe, they form water. So when you turn it on in the morning in the high fire, the pipes are expanding, and that water is knocking in the pipes.
Gotcha. Okay. So there's water knocking is what the problem is.
Right,
no, it's an expanding pipe, so your mom would be involved.
Okay. What the hell did I do? I thought we were going to tag team Dwayne here. Now you're coming after
me. I'm so done with Dwayne.
Wait, Dwayne, do you work like in the field? Like, how do you know this?
Yeah, I work at the hospitals.
Okay.
And we have boilers.
So you work on the boilers at the hospitals?
Yeah, we actually just put in a brand new steam line.
Congratulations. Now, Dwayne, here's the thing, though, man. Why would I know that? Why would Tommy know that? I shouldn't know any of that.
Expanding pipes?
No, a lot of people don't know that.
But we shouldn't. It's not my job, Dwayne.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Great call, Dwayne. Thanks, buddy. Have a good rest
of the day. He's
first. And that phone call, I think, it puts a frame, a big old golden frame.
Oh, it sure does.
On the problem with this discussion. Because every single guy that is that guy did not hear a word we just said.
Nope.
Because Dwayne heard us talking about boilers when really the discussion was about don't be a dick.
Right.
And I'm not here to say Dwayne is a dick. Dwayne seems like a nice man who knows a lot about boilers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it just completely goes over their head. Like, if you don't have the self-awareness to know you're sticking your nose in a place you shouldn't, you also don't have the self-awareness to know that we're talking about you, man.
I have also found, and I'm thinking of a specific example here, the guy that jumps in to do everybody's job, right? He kind of, in a way, makes everybody, all of his coworkers, lazier. Because, well, I'm not even going to touch that if so-and-so is going to do it later on.
Right.
Like, I'm not even going to bother because he's going to tell me I'm doing it wrong anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, let him, like, knock yourself out, man. You can do my job for me and I'll just sit here and collect a paycheck.
It's a great point. It's not worth getting yelled at by a guy who doesn't know what he's doing. No. I'm trying to do the thing
he's
that I'm supposed
to do. He's going to redo it or he's going to do it anyways eventually. So, let him do it.
It does get to a point, however.
Yeah.
Where guys like Ralph, you know, the guy who knows how to do everything at work, you kind of hope at some point, he's like, I'll do it. Because you want to watch him fall on his stupid face.
I want to see it go horribly
wrong. If it's something I don't want to do, go for it.
Look, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you want to dedicate yourself to the job you do in your job description and put a ton of work in there, that makes sense.
Go get it, man.
That makes sense.
Get yours.
Yes, right? Like, maybe it works for promotion, maybe it doesn't, but...
You put in the effort.
Yeah. You start overstepping the lines of your department or your job description, you either look like an idiot, or like Tommy said, you get stuck in that job for life because of the free stuff you're doing.
Yeah, you're King Brown.
You've worked your way into a volunteer.
Yes.
Congratulations.
For nothing.
For a for-profit company.
Yes.
Great job, Ralph, you stupid bitch.
Don't give it away, man.
Don't give it away.
That's right.
Good.
Hold it.
Hold it.
Tight. You gotta keep it tight.
Mm. Not like those boiler pipes that were expanding.
Oh, yeah, you gotta be careful.
When it starts up, the water.
See when she cools down.
Yeah.
And when that steam come up, she expands.
Mm-hmm.
And it should, then the pipe expands.
I'll go even further.
What's that? Yeah, we just put a new one in at the hospital.
The company that we work for could pay me to put me through 2 weeks of boiler training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still would not feel comfortable. I would still be scared to go down there.
Oh, I ain't doing it.
Everybody's life in your hands.
Yeah, no, I don't want that pressure. What are you, nuts?
I would say, yeah, I looked at it. It's good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the end of an era, Tommy.
What happened?
But not in the way it might seem. Because with most restaurants closings locally the last couple of years, it's solely financials that shut them down.
Yeah.
They just couldn't afford to do it. This story is one that I guess is a little bit brighter.
Okay.
But taking this restaurant out of it, restaurants, bars around this place could be looking at a situation where a neighborhood known for one specific thing for decades now has to figure out what it's about to become.
Hmm.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. We will jump right into it. A restaurant that has been open for 50 years.
50 years.
Has now decided to call it quits.
Wow.
The Park Ave Pub.
Oh, wow.
On Park Ave. Announced yesterday it will be closing. Oh, yeah. In fact, it's actually closed now forever. The restaurant and bar has been in operation since 1973. The current owners have been running it for the last 14 years, and it seems the owners are just ready to relax.
So it's retirement time.
Yes, they took a winter break in January, and they never reopened. And in a text to the Democrat and Chronicle, folks that run the place say they enjoyed their break so much, they wanted to make it permanent.
Okay.
So looks like they're done. For three generations of Rochesterians, we lose a place that we all love to go to, probably back when we were in our younger days.
Yeah, it's an anchor.
Yeah, I mean, for you, you were in your 40s, but we count that. But Tommy, there could be more to this than just a retirement or maybe the struggles to run a restaurant.
Yeah.
Tommy, when I say Park Ave, the first thing that pops in your head is?
Giants.
Okay. When it comes to people that are down there, it is?
Hipsters.
Waffle-eating
Sunday agnostic bastards.
What are you talking about?
You ain't been to mass in years.
Kimmy, young people.
Yeah, like post-college kids. It's like their first apartment. Yeah. That kind of neighborhood.
Hipsters.
Yeah.
You got it. You are starting.
Beyond hipsters.
He's
Gen Z now.
He's wearing, as he put it, a waffle turtleneck in a shacket.
It's waffle pattern.
With dress sneakers, and he's calling other people hipsters.
Yes.
You look like you're about to go trade jazz vinyl all day at the bop shop. Kimmy.
Yeah.
Park Ave is where people started their young adult
lives. Felt like it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was young people up and down Park Ave, and the businesses up and down the street reflected it.
They catered to it.
Yes. The bars were always full. The restaurants were all the cool kids hung out. Breakfast places where everyone would go and work their hangover off on Saturday and Sunday morning. But over the last 3 or 4 years, something has happened.
What happened?
The young people, they're going away.
They migrated.
The old people.
Yeah.
The youths of the world.
Mm-hmm. The Mises.
Housing costs skyrocketed, which caused rent prices to skyrocket. And all of a sudden, the 18 to 28-year-olds found themselves priced out of renting on Park Ave. Because, Kimmy, we know multiple people in that age group who decided to get out of that neighborhood only because of how expensive rent had become.
Yeah, for the most part. Or, like, the people like my age that lived there. They never really moved out.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean? That's a good point.
Like, there are a lot more people in, like, their 30s, potentially 40s, that are still in those apartments that they were in as in their 20s.
That's
or
a
in the
point.
Same area, at least.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So I think you now have to wonder, and the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. With the young people, it seems, leaving Park Ave, and I know what an old man I sound like when I say that. Do the businesses that cater to them go with them?
But it's interesting, though, about this particular restaurant that we're talking about, because I always thought that they did cater to, like, a slightly older crowd. Yeah, like, it was always, like,
was
you always saw
crowd.
The older set in there because, like, because of their wide range of wines and things like that.
Yeah.
So I would think, like, that place, and I don't, we don't know what they were doing business-wise, but I always thought that would be, like, a perfect spot.
Valid
that would
point.
Only thrive right now.
Unless people down there they're so old and lame, they're not going out.
Maybe.
Right? I'm going to sit at home. Yeah. I got Netflix tonight. I mean, Tommy, the Park Ave Fest is no more.
Yeah.
The old Preps closed last year.
Right.
the higher end places, there are higher end restaurants and bars that are opening in that neighborhood, right? And I guess that's a good thing for the neighborhood. Like if you own a house down there, the less crazy, the better. But if I serve breakfast, if I offer cheap beers, if I counted on that young crowd as a business, do you start to get nervous?
No, they're gone. You're right. I mean, you got to change.
How do you change, though? How do you cater to now a crowd that's going to be dressed like you walking in instead of, you know, Fisher lacrosse sweatpants?
You got to put quality on my plate.
Shut up. What is... I don't even want to know. Like, Kimmy, I go down there with my wife and kids on a Sunday in the summertime, and there's more of me's than there were 18, 22-year-old punks, which was me's hanging out down there back in the day.
But those kids, like you said, got squeezed out. And you remember it finally, so you're going back.
It's on the millennials, I guess, to carry on.
But carry on as old people.
Well, older. Yeah. I'm the old.
Like, no, I guess, so the question would be, like, what would you, what would you want to see there? Because, like, that's who's frequenting the businesses.
It's a great question. Because I don't even know what I want. I just go to places and I'm like, ooh, that's nice. I'm at the point in my life where I don't know why I'm going places.
Okay, there have been, since I moved from that area, there have been an increase in cafes and coffee shops.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's something to that.
So what happened to like places like the Frog Pond?
It's still there.
Because like, that there. Place on a Sunday morning, you couldn't get in.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like a line, a wait.
I mean, that was the hot corner, right? Like Gines, Frog Pond, and then...
Because if you couldn't get in one spot, you tried the next.
You got
and
it.
You did the the that whole around. Area.
Like, it's Blue Wolf Bistro now across the street, but anything it ever was always just jam-packed full of people. And I guess those three restaurants are classy enough where no matter your age, you can go down, sit down, have a meal, and everything would be good.
Yeah, you don't feel too old.
Exactly, but it's funny. Like, the last time, over the summer, we went down to get breakfast. Yeah. It used to be with the kids, you would be seeing, kids in college sweatpants just trying to get food. I go down there now. I see people I went to high school
with. Strollers. It's high-end strollers.
Think about the money they now have to spend on booster seats. 252 WCMF. It was announced yesterday the Park Ave Pub is closing forever. They've been open since 1973. The owners at least told the Democrat and Chronicle that they're just ready to shut it down. They're ready to retire. That's the end of it. But the kids, it seems, are leaving Park Ave. And there are businesses that have been open forever on that street that cater to the kids. And now that the kids are leaving, what do you do with these businesses? Can I ask another question?
Go ahead.
And I'm serious when I ask it. Yeah. Phone number is 252-WCMF. Where are the kids going?
Fairport.
Okay, Fairport is where they're partying. But can 20-somethings afford to live in Fairport?
No, that's a good question. I don't know. I know that they've built more and more apartment buildings, but I don't know, like, affordability-wise what that looks like as a 22, 23-year-old.
I thought they're staying at home now.
Finding their first apartment.
Okay, that's a good point. A lot of people are staying at home longer.
And, the moms make the waffles for the kids, okay?
Okay. But when they're finally able to go, because there are still 25 to 28-year-olds, 24 to 28-year-olds getting their first apartments.
Yeah, sure.
Where are those kids living?
Oh.
Like,
are they grouping up like you did?
Well, that's what we did on Park. That's what everyone did. Park Ave.
But where are they grouping?
That's a great question.
That's a great bit.
Where are they grouping? Maybe Troy could help us out. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Troy, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Yeah, good morning.
Yo.
So I don't think it's the rent because, rent's going up everywhere. And the South Wedge is the new spot.
So that's the hot spot, South Wedge.
That's where everybody's living now.
So you find it's getting younger?
It was Upper Monroe and Park Ave, but South Wedge is the spot now. And then everybody goes to Fairport, like you guys were saying. They're all living in the South Wedge.
It's just weird you're going to live in the South Wedge. Because there's bars in the South Wedge. Bars I loved when I was a kid, but again, I'm an old man now.
Yeah.
That you're going to travel all the way out to Fairport to go have a couple of beers.
I mean, the South Wedge bars get busy too. But they all kind of have their own eclectic vibe going on in the South Wedge. So
perfect way to put that, by the way.
The other crowd is going to Fairport, but don't get me wrong, South Wedge is still packed.
All right. I mean, it's funny, man. Like, and again, I have not been in this lifestyle for 20 years. But, Kimmy, I remember the South Wedge being the place you went to when you couldn't afford to live anywhere else as a 18
or 22
year old.
Yeah, it wasn't really a nice area.
Yeah, but I just remember when we were on the hunt for houses. Like, we were priced out of the South Wedge completely.
No kidding.
Like, that was not even attainable to us.
Well, there's a lot of new stuff down there. Troy hung up on us. Swillburger, that old church that's now a bar and restaurant. Like, that place is always cranking.
Is it kids or is it older people?
It's vintage video games.
Like, where do guys go to meet girls now? They go to Fairport?
Where do guys go to meet girls?
No, where do the guys go to meet
girls? If I want to meet a striking young woman, where would I?
Well, maybe it's
where are the hot young things hanging out?
More spaced out now.
Clippers?
Maybe there isn't.
They didn't close Clippers, did they? You remember it was right across the street from Pins?
What about Dumpers?
Dumpers closed. Dumpers closed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was at health inspection. No, I think it. I mean, I think everyone's going to Fairport to meet people.
That's where the pretty girls are.
Seems like it.
Oh, the pretty girls are.
Well, if that's the thing, if I'm a young guy,
yeah.
I'm going to meet hotter chicks in Fairport than I am in the Southwood.
Why?
Just based on the way people look.
What is that? Explain.
Okay,
I think the sexier.
Let's hear this explanation.
I think the sexier girls would be in Fairport
over the Southwood. Oh my God.
There's wedge chicks and then there's Fairport hot.
Bro, Don't send your children to Fairport, everybody. Especially if Tommy Mulay is going to be there.
Mothers, lock up your daughter. Literally, lock up your
daughter. No, I'm just saying if I was a young
man. Sexy chicks are.
If I was a young man looking to get some action, I think I'm going to meet a fun, hot-looking chick in Fairport.
I don't know. I would hang out at Lux a ton when I was a kid on South.
Yeah, but that was 20 years ago, man.
It's still there. And what I'm saying is the sexiest women. I mean, great. There's different levels of sexy.
Stop saying sexy women.
I will not stop.
The sexy girls.
When I was that age, I mean, like.
Yeah.
There were. I really enjoyed the women at Lux.
I'm sure you did.
But
there were so many places to hang out in this town back then.
They were dangerous. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
fun danger.
Maybe that's part of it.
She's got a tattoo.
Maybe there are still, like, the young crowd in all these neighborhoods we're talking about. There's just not, like, one central place. It's just more spaced out.
It is weird, though, right? Like, I mean, I know that times change and we all get older and kids find different stuff to do. I'm sorry.
Wow.
You know, you talk about Clippers. Dan Johnson. I'm sorry, I said your full name. Wrote us on Instagram.
He just sent
me website for a bar in Onondaga County called Clippers.
Is this really?
It's called Clippers Tavern, and it's the oldest bar in Onondaga County.
Oh, it's an old Clipper.
It's supposed to be a boat.
Oh.
But it exists.
All right.
So if I have a beer.
At Clippers?
We can head on down to Clippers.
Get a pint?
I'm sorry. I completely lost track of where I was going there. Kimmy, I'm sorry. No, I guess what I'm asking is like, you know, South Wedge comes up in that phone call there. It also does feel like kids are getting cheaper apartments in the suburbs, like those apartment complexes,
Kimmy. Yeah.
I mean, that's a way less fun coming of age situation.
Oh, sure.
Because there was this romantic feeling of living down on Park, Monroe, Winton, South Wedge.
You felt like you were in a city.
Well, you were.
But I mean, like, you felt big city.
When you went outside, you felt like the sun was shining down in your face.
Things were walkable.
Yeah, I mean, you felt like you were living in a major metropolitan area.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You're around a ton of people all the time.
Yeah.
There was that. I guess what I'm saying is.
What's that?
There were kids you knew from back in the day in your neighborhood when you grew up there, right? There were kids you made buddies with at the bars because you saw them there all the time. There were girls you kept coming across over and over again in different places. And every couple of years, it almost felt like there was a new graduating class.
No, that's the way it was.
Yeah, you aged out of it and a new group would come in. And you spent a few years down there and you met someone down there. And then you would settle down with that person and move to the suburbs. And some other 22-year-old would come in and take your spot. Like it, I mean, bohemian is a weird word way
but
to put it.
But you became metropolitan. You learned how to walk and slip on shoes and how to wear a belt properly.
Coming across all those people.
you finally started buying your cologne at Macy's.
You had a lot of like-minded people your age, and it led to a lot of fun.
You grew together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get that.
That's a shame that that's gone.
And that's just it. Like, if you're living, you know, you don't get that when you're the floor of your Charlie apartment complex you live in has a mom with two kids next door, two 70-year-olds, two doors down.
To keep it down.
And then a 36-year-old guy who's really into samurai swords who lives by himself. Because that's what you get
in
those places. Like, you know. There's no sitting on the porch, hanging out, having a couple of beers.
You bring up the beer. I mean, but we've talked about drinking with the younger set is also down.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that could also lead to less interest in going out to the bars and being in that scene.
I used to love drinking with the young people. But
no, you did. And that's what's creepy about it.
You had fun.
Yeah. When you lived on Park Ave, you were, what, like an average of 10 years older than most people in the bars you went to?
So I moved here. That's right. I lived on Park and Raleigh. I was 34.
Yeah, so 10 to 12 years.
Yeah.
Older than everybody else.
Yeah.
Hello, fellow teenagers.
I had fun. I had my fun,
though. No, I'm sure you had fun.
I met some young people. Sexy girls are at.
Think about all the bouncers, Kimmy, that had to keep an eye on him for all those years. Hey, hey, give it up. Right there. Right there.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
This story comes to us from Penfield. 1:30 in the morning. This happened a couple of weeks ago, but we're just finding out about it now. A woman was found asleep in her vehicle at a gas pump. Why are you laughing?
She's waiting for it to open?
I don't know. We're asleep in her vehicle.
All right. At
a gas
1:30
pump.
In the morning.
1:30 in the morning.
At the pumps.
You got it. At the physical pump,
right.
She is asleep. So somebody found her, and they called the cops.
Yeah, you probably think she's dead.
So the cops showed up, and she was not dead. She was woken up.
Right.
Now, Tommy, you see a story like this, and your first thought is...
Oh, she is wasted.
So here's the thing.
I'm thinking she's drunk.
Here's the thing. There is nothing in this story that suggests that she was intoxicated. No charges. She's not facing any charges for being intoxicated. However, she is facing a charge.
Was she in trouble?
Well, when police woke her up, they say that they found her in possession of cocaine in her purse.
Oh. Well, she should have taken some. She would have been more alert.
Thank you.
She would have heard the cops coming.
Yeah, you're doing
you know,
it wrong.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say, well, she know, well, you definitely know she didn't use it.
What the hell was going on?
Man, a little bump would have got you out of this situation.
No, hold on. Let's not encourage people to do cocaine.
I'm not. I'm just saying, you know. I'm just saying it helps.
All I'm asking is, if the only illegal thing on you have is cocaine, how the hell did you fall asleep?
Yeah.
Were you saving that cocaine for later?
Should read the instructions.
You just sleep it off, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to take a nice nap and then use this cocaine. You also took a... How did you fall asleep at the gas pump?
Yeah. So I'm guessing like you pulled up thinking they're not open yet.
Oh, close your eyes.
I'm just going to wait till they open at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Or, I mean, that's actually a decent theory.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Why else would you be parked there?
So is it not? I just assume this place is open, but that's actually not a
Most
bad
of the
theory.
Joints are closed overnight.
Am I not allowed to just park anywhere and sleep?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I never thought.
I mean, it's private property.
Okay, now you sound like an old man.
Private property? Take your cocaine and get out of here.
Well, and was she pulled up right at the gas pump, too?
It's a very simple story. I'll give you everything I have. You ready? Right. At 1:31 a.m., 36-year-old woman was asleep in her vehicle at gas pumps. She was found in possession of cocaine in her purse. Deputies arrested her and released her with an appearance ticket.
All right.
So I didn't think of the whole, like, I'm just going to sleep it off for a little while here.
Cause let's say she's low on gas and she's got nowhere else to go, so I'm going to close my eyes for a bit.
That changes the whole story.
But you pulled right up to the pump.
Well, she's ready to go. Second it opens.
Like, okay, now I kind of feel bad for her.
Well, it's a sad story. It's not
Well, look, yes. I mean, 36.
A little pathetic.
Okay, well, okay. You, of all people.
Me,
you.
Yes. I know pathetic.
Let's not pretend like you didn't still have some of that stuff on you at that age. We just found out you were living on Park Ave at 34.
I do wonder, though, unless she like was acting strange,
she was sleeping.
Why would you search her?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because like, if she woke up and she's like, "Oh, I fell asleep," I wonder like what cause they would have to look further into it.
I mean, unless they thought she was drunk, I don't know. I mean, you know,
may want to pull her out and talk to her.
All you would have to do is consent to a search. But then again, I don't know why you'd consent to a search if you knew you had cocaine.
Unless it was
purse.
Sitting out.
It said in her purse.
In her purse, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I don't know if you need a warrant to go into a purse. I'm not a lawyer.
I don't know.
Sure, I would imagine you would, right? Unless the purse is open and I could see in it.
Could be.
There is cocaine sticking right out of it for easy access.
And you labeled
access.
It cocaine or booger sugar.
252 WCMF. Again, we're talking about this 36-year-old woman. She was found, according to police, asleep in her vehicle at gas pumps in Penfield. Police woke her up. Didn't write her for being drunk. No trouble there. Didn't get her for being under the influence of any drugs while driving. But she was found in possession of cocaine, according to them. She was arrested, released with an appearance ticket. When you are holding something and run out of gas, like if you know you're going to go out and have a good time, at least put a quarter tank in, right? I mean, would that be the best way to do it? Because there is nothing more frustrating the way the world used to be when everything was open 24 hours.
Yeah.
Than coming across a gas station in a suburb that is not open.
Right.
What are we doing here?
I know.
Every gas station used to be 24 hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
At least where I grew up.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be tough, especially people who have these like hours like we do, or if you're somebody that works overnights, whatever, you better be prepared with that quarter tank at all times.
You're right.
Like, there's no way you can be somebody who lets their car get down to E.
No, you're right. Like, I live in Henrietta. Mm-hmm. I take West Henrietta to Mount Hope all the way down into the city every morning. And there used to be 8 gas stations open mm-hmm. on the way to work. There is now 1. And if the pumps aren't working, sometimes yeah. they're not working at that place,
I made the mistake of doing that one time, and I was just praying I could get home after I got here. I was like, okay, good, I got to work. Now let's hope I don't run into traffic going home.
Even those country gigs we did when we were doing stand-up locally, mm-hmm. like you always knew you could hit a gas station, and like none day would have like a gas station, and it was 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you could get all your stuff.
The worst night of my life.
Letchworth Pines?
I always crush Letchworth Pines, bro. They kept bringing me back.
Yeah.
For some reason, I do really well in bowling alleys. I was doing a show in Colorado.
Oh.
My wife is pregnant at the time. She's my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And I had been on the road for almost a month straight. I had not seen my 5-month pregnant wife in a month, right? And I'm a kid, and I'm scared of what's about to happen in my life.
Sure.
And I feel really bad for having to leave my... You know, the mother of my child behind.
Yeah.
But
bro, you were bringing down a cool $200 a week.
Got to get that paycheck.
Got to go to work.
Yeah.
So my plan was to finish this show. I would get off the stage at 9.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to drive as far as I could, make it to probably Chicago.
You could hear him booing all the way to Kansas City.
Sleep in a rest area and then make the rest of the ride home. I'd be home within 24 hours.
Okay.
Go see my wife. Well, I haven't seen her in a month. I'll get gas after the show. There is 1 gas station in town, closed at 8 o'clock.
Oh.
I got stuck having to sleep in the parking lot of the Colorado Miners College.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't even know you needed a degree to be a miner.
I didn't either.
And
waiting for the gas station to
open. Yes, I didn't get to go see, because I had already checked out of the hotel like an idiot too. Oh, I don't need this. See you later, everybody.
Yeah. But in your defense, you couldn't get out of those hotel rooms fast enough.
It was actually one of the nicer ones. But, I ended up having to sleep in my car because the 1 gas station in this town closed at 8 o'clock at night.
That would suck.
The poor mother of my child waiting for me, longing, where is my roadbound husband? All right, let's take a break.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.